friend of mine when all this technology was in its early days, especially our exposure to in New Zealand anyway. And this guy just got a phone with this technology on it. And I picked him up from the airport and he said, "Hey, Wes, look at this." He says, "Call Wes Chambers." And it came back with some answer that was totally irrelevant. "Oh, call Wes Chambers." Came back with another answer that was irrelevant. "Call Wes Chambers." It was a lady's voice, so please don't get offended with this, will you please? And they, "Oh, you stupid woman." If it was a man, it would have been, "Oh, you stupid man." Anyway, total frustrated. The technology didn't work at all for him. Now, you'll probably know who that was, but anyway. The technology is fantastic, but when it doesn't work, it can be so frustrating, can't it? You know? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, that microwave's so slow now, isn't it? A whole minute. Well, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the technology of the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you, Lord, that you're with us, your presence is with us. Lord, the great and precious promises, Lord, that by which we are saved are eternal. Lord, they're unchanging. They're unchanging with atmosphere, circumstance, mood, emotion. They're totally unchanging. So we thank you, Lord, our lives are founded on rock, the rock Christ Jesus. Lord, they're not founded on sifting or shifting sand, which can be washed away by storms and catastrophes. But, Lord, we're standing on a rock which is immovable, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that as we've taken your word, as your word has become engrafted into us, and, Lord, we've been doing that word, we've been believing your word and doing your word, we thank you, Lord, we are founded on that rock. So today we thank you, Lord, that no storm has washed us away. No wind has blown us over. Amen? Because we're founded on that rock. It's an awesome thing. I want to share with you today, just before that we'll give to the Lord the tithes and offerings, but I want to share just a few points today, 4 points really, 4 focus points on walking with Holy Spirit. We've been, over this last few weeks, we've been focusing on, you know, starting with the day of Pentecost, of course, when we could first get together in those 2 conference sessions, we focused in on who Holy Spirit is. What did Jesus say about Holy Spirit? Who is he? What does he do? What's he been sent for? And we noted the fact that Holy Spirit is God himself. He's not less than the Father. He's not less than the Son. He's, in some places, he's called the Father's own Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit and the Father are one, and yet they're two. The Trinity, or the Godhead, is three, but it's one. It's a mystery to our minds in many regards, but nevertheless, this is what Scripture reveals. And so the wonderful thing is that Jesus has cleared the way for us by his own offering, by offering himself as the Lamb of God, becoming sin for us, therefore receiving the wrath of God that sin deserved, and therefore clearing the way, not just for our sins to be forgiven, although that is an amazing deal in itself. That is absolutely amazing. If that's all it was, it's still absolutely amazing. But it's more than that. What's happened is the way has been cleared in relationship with God, where God can now come and dwell in us personally. This is the phenomenal truth of biblical Christianity. Not concocted ideas about Christianity or religion, so to speak, but it's biblical Christianity is the understanding that Jesus has made the way where there was no way for us to be reconciled to the Father, and the Spirit of the Father, who is Holy Spirit, who is another Savior like Jesus, not a replacement Savior, but the one who comes after him to do the work in us that was purchased and established through the cross and through the ascension and through the enthronement of Jesus at the right hand of the Father. All of that work is made, is brought into active operation within us by Holy Spirit. And so to know him, to love him, to commune with him, to fellowship. G'day, Dave. Good to see you, man. To fellowship with him, to walk with him is a very powerful and wonderful, wonderful thing. It is the privilege of our lives. It is the privilege of our lives. Dave, you've been living in Dunedin. Is that right? Where are you? Dave, God bless you, man. Great to see you again. Somebody said don't interrupt the service by doing those sort of things, but I'm just doing it because I like to. Okay. I saw Peter Morrow do that all the time. Is that right? And he just, you know, so I'm allowed to do that. If Peter did it, I can do it. Anyway. Father, we want to thank you for the tithes and the offerings today. We dedicate them to you in faith and honor, gratitude, and an acknowledgement that you are our source. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Holy Spirit, how do we walk with this amazing person, we understand, who called Holy Spirit? Holy Ghost, if you're a Pentecostal from, and a King James person, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. How do we walk with him? How do we live with him? Now that he lives in us, if we're, because we receive Christ, we've received him, how do we walk with him? Because if you've got this and phenomenal, all-powerful friend that's been sent to you, it's really good to learn how to walk with him. How to befriend him. How to build that communion with him. How to build that fellowship with him in such a way that the Father gets the maximum gain out of all that Jesus had to do, and we get the maximum advantage of walking with the all-powerful living God who lives within us, and the kingdom is given the maximum advantage through our lives, and we get to be as fruitful as possible, which brings God great glory. Amen? That's how it is. And so Jesus said in John chapter 7, it's recorded in John 14, verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior. This is, I think this could be the Passion Translation. I didn't write it there. It is a Passion Translation. He will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him, because they can't see him or know him. But you know him intimately because he remains with you and will live inside you. He's speaking to disciples that haven't really experienced the fullness of the Spirit yet like they will on the day of Pentecost. He's telling them this in that situation. Even more, they're going to understand this even more on the day of Pentecost when Holy Spirit comes. And the church forevermore has now access to the presence of God in a way that people never had access to him before. Holy Spirit would come on people and then lift off people. He would come on a king. And the king would be able to do certain things in line with the will of God and experience something of the presence of God and so on. But then Holy Spirit could also be lifted. That's why David prayed, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Because in that covenant, God could take the Holy Spirit from somebody. Saul experienced that. The Holy Spirit would come on a prophet, and the prophet would prophesy and do whatever the prophet needed to do, but the Holy Spirit wasn't given to people generally in the way that it can be now because of Jesus making the way. Very big difference between that covenant and this covenant we're now in with the Father. And so Jesus said, he will be a friend to you like me. How many people have ever imagined that you were living on the earth when Jesus was in his pre-resurrection, pre-crucified, pre-resurrection time of his existence? And you imagine being close to him. Imagine being like John, who when they laid on the floor around the table, he got to lean against Jesus' chest because that's just how they laid around the table and ate. Imagine, how many people have ever imagined being able to walk with him and seeing those eyes formed in that guy's skull? How many people have ever imagined seeing the leprosy just disappear from a man's skin? To see a man come out of the grave that had been dead for 4 days, still wrapped in those cloths? How many people have ever imagined sitting at Jesus' feet, if you like, as Mary did, rather, and just hearing the truth, just hearing the understanding, feeling the atmosphere, feeling the love of the Father. How many people have ever imagined just being able to do that and walk hand? How many people have ever imagined that? Well, guess what? We have another Savior. He's not a replacement. He's not another one as in we need another one because Jesus didn't do enough. Not that another Savior. He's the Paracletos. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He's God himself that Jesus was able to make the way for to come and dwell not just with a few and a few Jews at that. But with many. The challenge we have as human beings, the challenge I have, is that you can't see him. Like I could see a physical person. You know what I'm... Wayne, could you stand here for a moment? I mean, it's just a plain, simple fact that it's really easy to relate to the fact, here's Wayne, he's here with me. I can relate to that easily because I can feel him. I can see him. I'm not going to say I can smell you because that would be offensive, but aftershave, whatever. I can feel something of the atmosphere around your life and all the affection and you know what I'm saying, don't you? I can feel because it's easy because he's within the realm of the five senses that we are used to working in all the time. Touch, sight, smell, hearing, etc. So he's within the realm of those five senses that have been designed for us to be able to relate in a physical world with physical things. But God is spirit. You and I are spirit. You and I are spirit. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. You are a spirit being. Can I say this again? I didn't need your permission. You are a spirit being. You are an eternal, created in the image of God, spirit being. You live in a body. You need a body for this world. This is a physical world. You relate in this physical world. We've been created physical. Physical's good. Physical has struggles, physical has weaknesses, physical has challenges, physical this, physical that. But you're a spirit person, you're living in a body. You have a soul, you have a mind, will and emotions, and it's all intertwined and interconnected. Sometimes your soul is feeling something that your spirit is feeling. And you just think it's your emotion, or you just think it's something else. It's actually your spirit. You are hearing things within your inner being that your spirit is speaking to you. In fact, you are speaking to you. Because you are spirit. You are spirit. You don't have a spirit, you are spirit. It's better to say you are spirit and you have a body. Than to say you're a body that has a spirit. But we've been so used to being body who has a spirit, or maybe even doesn't, are not even aware that we are a spirit, that we've become so five sense orientated that anything outside of the realm of, that's detectable by those five senses, we are suspicious of, or we are uncertain of, or sometimes we're even fearful of. We've become so physical sense orientated. But God is spirit. Holy Spirit is spirit. You are spirit. When your body is no longer able to sustain you and the presence of your spirit, you, the eternally conscious you, with memory, feelings, thought, understanding of future, physical sensations, but we call them physical sensations because currently we feel them in our bodies. But when our spirit leaves our bodies, we will still feel those sensations. I'll tell you why I know that. Because when Jesus told the story about Lazarus and the rich man, when both of them died, he said both of them died. One went to the bosom of Abraham, which was the place where the righteous believing people went, and they were basically waiting for the Messiah to come and the resurrection. That's where they were. And then there was another place called hell. Wasn't the final hell, the lake of fire that is mentioned in Revelation. It's an initial place of torment and darkness where the rich man went because he'd shown no mercy to Lazarus. The whole story there. Incredible story. Both of them had emotions. Both of them had memory. Both of them had sensation in terms of thirst, hunger, pain, torment, whatever it was. They felt everything just as though we would do in a physical body. Isn't that interesting? And they're spirits. They're spirit beings. So here's what I'm about to say. We experience a lot more interaction with Holy Spirit than most of us give credit for. Because we think that they're just physical sensations that are born of a physical sense. How many people have ever walked into an atmosphere and your body starts to feel a sense of anxiety or a sense of warning or a sense of discomfort? There's no logical reason. There's no painting at the wall staring at you. There's no logical reason that you will be feeling that. All you know is this feels really uncomfortable. There's a sense of danger here. And inside of you, you know you've got to remove yourself from that situation. What is that? That is your spirit. That is you. That is you feeling and experiencing a spirit realm of a different kind. It's an evil kind. It's a kind that either you need to intercede over or you need to remove yourself from, or there's some issue that there's something else lodged there or been given right to be there that is demonic. What is that? It's your spirit communicating. I would like to take a long time to explain all the different ways people experience Holy Spirit. I'm going to touch a few. I believe that it's really important for us to grow in our spirit awareness, not only as a spirit being, but to really grow in communion and awareness of the interaction between Holy Spirit and you and I. I think it's really key for the days we're in. I really do. We've got such incredible advantages as believers. We really got major advantages. So how do we live with Holy Spirit? How do we walk with Holy Spirit? Number one, Proverbs 3 verse 6. Point number one, acknowledge Him. Proverbs 3, 6. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. I think it's the Passion Translation says, become intimate with Him and whatever you do and He will lead you wherever you go. So here we have this amazing, this is point number one, acknowledge Him. The first step in any relationship is acknowledgement. The first step in any relationship is acknowledgement. When I first walked into our dining room at Clyde, and Janet had been brought to my home by a couple of friends, I'd never met her. Never knew she existed. When I walked through that door and I saw her standing in that dining room, I acknowledged her. She thought I didn't. Because I went over to my cat that had just had an operation because a barley grass had gotten into its ear. It had just had an operation by the vet and I was really concerned for my cat. I actually enjoy, really like cats. Some of them, not all of them, but most cats. But she thought I ignored her. I hadn't ignored her at all. I think maybe I'd been introduced to you briefly, but to you, it seemed like I hardly acknowledged you. But I'd acknowledged her. In fact, inside I had a green light. Moving right along. But the first step in any relationship is acknowledgement. And here's the challenge. Because we don't see Holy Spirit, generally speaking, with our physical eyes, it's easy to walk in a way that we're not acknowledging Him. See, Holy Spirit dwells in us by faith. So we walk with Him by faith. We walk with Him in trust. It's a trust walk. And the odd psychologist of the type that don't recognize spirit realm and they don't understand God, they don't recognize the reality of God in the spirit realm, may think that we've got some kooky ideas, but that's their problem. He's not an imaginary friend. He's a very real friend. He's as real as Jesus is real. It's just that Jesus had a body on earth to relate to, whereas now we have Holy Spirit, and now we're the body. Wow, that has big implications, church. We are the body now. Well, think about that. We just need to think about that one for a moment. Jesus was the body for the Word on earth. The Word, the body, Jesus, the eternal Son of God, present on earth, touchable, feelable, experientiable, smellable. Now we're the body for Holy Spirit on earth. Wow. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I agree with that. Pop. Where's Jesus sitting right here? If Jesus was here, He is. I think maybe over this next while there's going to be an ongoing shift of attitude as to who we are. There's been a lot of emphasis on identity in the body of Christ in the last 20, 30, 40 years, and it's been a good one. The odd one gets a bit wacko, but most of it has been a lot of good stuff, a lot of good understanding. But I don't think it's the end of it yet. I think we're still going to journey into what it means really to actually be the body of Christ. To actually be the ones who the Holy Spirit possesses. Because He's bought us with a price. We are no longer our own. I can find the scriptures for you, no problem. We are no longer our own, but Holy Spirit now possesses us. Wow, what does that mean? It has all sorts of implications. It means when you go into an environment, spirit realm starts to react to who is in you. And that's why it feels strange and uncomfortable. That's why somebody you walk past on the street, you're minding your own business, suddenly they're looking ugly at you. Why? You haven't done anything. You've been just minding your own business. The spirit in them is feeling something about the spirit in you. It's all sorts of things go on. The repercussions of this are huge. So first step, acknowledge Him. First level of the beginning of a relationship is acknowledgement. Number two, give Him word food to work with. Give Holy Spirit word food to work with in our lives. We saw a couple of weeks ago that that Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus, which all belongs to the Father, the things that the Father has given Jesus, the Son, and Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and then gives them to us. One of the key ways that happens is the transference of the Word from the Father through the Son by the Holy Spirit into us, into our spirit, into our heart, into our inner man. It says we are saved by the great and precious promises. We are saved by the engrafted Word, that Word that becomes part of us. It's because Holy Spirit is actually releasing what belongs to Jesus into us and it becomes ours. So revelation and understanding about the kingdom, about who you are, about who God is, about what He's given us, the power of His name, the power of His blood, the power of His word, the power of His destiny for us, the power of eternal life, how we access eternal life, the power of His mercy, the forgiveness of sins, all of those things and many more are given to us by revelation because Holy Spirit gives them to us and it's engrafted into us, that work of Holy Spirit in us. The engrafted word. Give Him word to work with. Give Him word to work with. Just read the word. Just spend time reading the word. I'm not going to tell you how to, what things to go with it. Just spend time reading the Word. I'm not going to tell you how much time, how often you should do it, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 3 hours, 8 hours, whether it's in the morning. I'm just going to say, read the Word. Just read the Word. Meditate on the Word. Ponder on the Word. I'm not going to tell you how often, when. Just do it. Just read the Word. Because what you're doing is you're giving Holy Spirit Word to work with in your life. And then Holy Spirit's role is to bring back to remembrance everything Jesus taught us. So we give him Word to work with. And then what Holy Spirit takes that Word in all sorts of different ways. And suddenly, pop, in a moment of time, something has gone into our spirit. Something's been revealed to us and life has changed. Something about life has changed. Something about things have changed. Because Holy Spirit's just taken what is Jesus and given it to you. And it can happen at any moment. I found this. I can read the Word, study the Word, ponder the Word, and then at some moment, it could be within a very short time, it could be years later. Pop. Wow. Suddenly. Bang. That's, wow. Hadn't seen that before. Wow. Oh, I'm seeing that deeper than I've ever seen it before. Wow. Is that what that means? The day I got born again, the day I received Christ, the day I got born again, in a healing meeting in Majestic House on a Tuesday morning. Or was it afternoon, Ann? Can't remember. Tuesday, anyway. When I received Christ, even though I'd gone to church with my parents most of my life, suddenly passages I'd heard, passages that had obviously gotten into me, suddenly just came alive. And I'm going, oh, is that what that means? Is that what that means? No, I know what that means. No, I know what that means. Inside of me, oh, it was just popping off, just popping off. Why? Because even though I'd heard it and learned it to some degree, in that moment when I actually received Christ, Holy Spirit just went, it's yours. It's yours. You've received him. You've received the eternal word. You've received Jesus. Now, what I've got from him to give to you, it's yours. Wow. And that can happen time after time after time all through our lives. And sometimes you never quite know when it's going to happen. Sometimes in a time of need, sometimes in the time of meditation, pondering, receive the grafted word, James chapter 1, 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, superfluity of wickedness, the King James says, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. John chapter 16, verse 14, he will glorify me and I will take of what is And he will take of what is mine, that's Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit, and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 14, 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So when you read the Word, just ponder the Word, sit under the Word, sooner or later what's going to happen, in an opportune moment, and it may just be when you need it, Holy Spirit's just going to go bam in your spirit, and suddenly it just opens up. You got it. I get it. I see that. Wow. Woo. Matthew 10, 18 to 20. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake. This is telling the boys what they're in for. As a testimony to them and to the Gentiles, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speaks. It will not be you that speaks. Guys, I'm telling you guys, it won't be you who speaks. But the Spirit of your Father will speak in you. Is what Jesus taught them. And they were to teach everything that they were taught. So it's relevant for this generation now. When they deliver you up before judges and magistrates or people who want to put you on trial because of what you said or because of something you said publicly or on Facebook, when they put you on trial, don't be worried about what you're going to say because Holy Spirit will give you what to speak when you're delivered up before them. And the one who speaks through you will be the Spirit of your Father. Do not fear. Do not fear. Then I went, then I've got here, point number three, the issue of burdens that we might misunderstand. This is how we walk with Holy Spirit. So we've got the working of the word in us. We've got the fact that, number one, we acknowledge him. Then we give him word to work with in our lives. That's point number two. Point number three is the prayer burdens that we might misunderstand. Things can happen suddenly. We were driving home from Dunedin last week, and we were driving along, minding our own business, and a vehicle overtook us in the passing lane because we were towing a caravan, and so I wasn't breaking the speed limit. I was in the lane that could be passed, and I saw a vehicle coming at my vision mirror. It passed. As soon as it got about here, I felt the sense of evil, and I felt a sense of ill intent. Felt the sense of evil and ill intent. And I didn't have a sense that it was against us at all. I said to Janet, I said, those guys are up to no good. There's something evil. There's something ill intent there. She said, let's pray. So we just prayed into it immediately. We shut this down, shut that down, bound this, bound that. Now you might say, well, what was that all about? I actually don't know. All I know is I don't know what we've saved. We don't know what we intervened in. Where there was some ill intent planned or some evil plan, we won't know, and maybe we'll find out in glory that on that day when you were passed by that vehicle on that motorway between so on and so on, this is what those guys were planning to do, and they didn't do it. You don't know. All I'm saying is when you get a sense like that, suddenly you just get a sense, and Janet, I said to Janet about it, she said, let's pray, and we just prayed there and then, just bound this, bound that, just whatever, whatever. And then it lifted. Holy Spirit speaks to us and moves in us in so many different ways that sometimes we just miss it because, oh, that's just us. That's just me. So then suddenly you'll get a sudden burden. If you want a point of reference for that, just jot down Romans 8:27 as a point of reference for that. Talking about groanings and that cannot be uttered, and Spirit makes intercession in us and so on. Then a sudden sense of weight comes on you about something and a concern. Sometimes, is this me? What's going on in my life? And then Janet might say to me, it may actually be an intercession thing. It may actually be for somebody else. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that's right. And so I might pray into it, and then it might lift. Why? Because it wasn't actually about me. It was actually about a situation I was picking up on. But initially, I was confused about it. I just thought it was me having a rotten day. You know what I'm, anybody know what I mean by that? Okay, moving right along. Then the sudden burden, the burden that just hits suddenly for somebody somewhere, suddenly you've just come onto your mind, they've come onto your heart. That's most of the time that'll be Holy Spirit speaking to you. Pray now. And that you just pray right in that moment and something shifts, something changes in that situation wherever they are. Then of course you get the whole issue of nudges, hunches, promptings and gut feelings. We could spend a long time talking about those. But Jesus had experiences where he groaned within. That's in John chapter 11. At Lazarus' death and going to the grave and saw the people weeping. He groaned within. Then in Matthew 14:14, he had experience where he was moved with compassion. All of these are feelings he felt. But they were all Holy Spirit. So what I'm saying is this, let's lift our attention to the things that go on in us that we think are just us. It may well be Holy Spirit wanting to speak, wanting to do something, wanting you to pray, wanting you to speak to somebody, wanting you to do something. I could spend quite a bit of time talking about different experiences with those sort of things. And I have done over times at different times. Just one I'm going to close on. This was actually a long way back, but it's just a nice little example. We were packed up to go to Meraki on holiday. We had the old Holden Kingswood packed up to the gunnels. And with the three children, Danny wasn't born, there, three children in the back. The boot was loaded to the hilt, the wagon part. I had a roof rack with stuff on it. I had the boat. Trailer sailor was packed to the gunnels with stuff. We went for 3 weeks, you see. And then the table and chairs were all tied onto the outside of the trailer. It would have looked like Beverly Hillbillies heading to Hollywood. It just, you know. And the thing was loaded to the hilt. And got into the car ready to drive away just before Christmas to go on holiday. And I felt this inner voice say, check your brakes. Got out, looked under the front brakes. Just looked under the front wheels. Looks all right to me. Got back in, checked the rear. Got out of the car, checked the rear brakes with brake fluid running down one of the tires. And anybody who's mechanical knows anything about brakes, hydraulic brakes, you know that that is really bad, especially when you're loaded up and you've got gorges and hilly country to go through. Who knows what the repercussions would have been if I'd gotten to a place where I needed those brakes and there was nothing because fluid had been pushed out every time I used those brakes and it would have just emptied the master cylinder. I would have had no brakes at all. What happened there? Holy Spirit spoke to me. That inner nudge, that inner sense, that inner nudge. First time, I didn't get it right, only checked the front. Second time, praise God, he spoke to me again, checked the rear. And that's where the brake fluid was. Held us up for a few days, getting another slave cylinder, all that sort of thing. But who knows how many lives and what repercussions it could have been. I'm saying this, it's time to be fostering our friendship with Holy Spirit, fostering our relationship, fostering our sense of Holy Spirit, is this you? If this is you, what do you want me to do? He's our friend. He's our very best friend. I mean, I love my wife, and Janet's my best friend with a person with skin on. You hear what I'm saying? But Holy Spirit is even a better friend than that. And same with Janet. Holy Spirit is a better friend to Janet than I am. Hear what I'm saying? You don't agree with me? I'm surprised you don't agree with me. So let's all stand. Let's open our hearts to Holy Spirit. Let's open our heart. Maybe you've never received the Lord into your life. Maybe you're on live stream. You've never received Jesus into your life. You've never received Jesus to clear the way for Holy Spirit to come to you, to be your very best friend, to lead you into all truth, to give you power to live, to give you gifts to minister in, minister through, and to help people and yourself. And be a witness in this world for the glory of God. So pray after me if you would, everybody. And pray on live stream. I invite you to pray with me. Just pray with me. And I'm going to pray leading anybody who may not know the Lord to the Lord. And then we're going to pray and just ask Holy Spirit. And just thank him for his closeness. Just pray after me. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died on a cross for me. He took all of the punishment and wrath my sin deserved. That I would go free and be able to be fully reconciled to my Heavenly Father. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. That you've been raised from the dead. And you're seated next to the Father. Come into my life. Forgive me of all my sin. I forgive everybody that's hurt me. I receive your forgiveness. Lord, make me your home. I receive you into my life. Make me your child, part of your family. Right now, Lord, I thank you that you've given me your Spirit, the Spirit of adoption. So Lord, right now, I open my heart to Holy Spirit. Come into my life. Fill me with power. Fill me with your goodness. Be my closest friend. I acknowledge you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer online, love you to communicate with us. I think there's something coming up on the bottom of your screen. Love to help you in your new walk with the Lord and become part of a family. And if you've prayed that here with us right now, love to talk with you. Love to get to pray with you more. I'd love to meet you if that's you. God bless you. We just want to pray right now and just bring this service to an end. Father, we just want to thank you for your presence with us. We want to thank you for your kindness to us. Just I bless every person now that needs to go home or go into the next thing they've got to do. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to somebody and bless them in some way.